thank you very much for coming back. In our interaction, we have learned and the confirmation that the other members have raised that there is a process that has been taken by the board in terms of issuing letters to some of the executives. And because of that, we have come to a conclusion that we as the portfolio committee should allow the board and also give them a space to continue with their processes and also familiarizing themselves with a certain report as they are only a few weeks in office. Because of those new developments, we are only going to deal with one item on the agenda for today, and then the rest of the items will call the board again to come and give us a report. We are asking the board and their delegation to give us a report on the progress made in addressing the concerns of Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund beneficiaries. Over to you, Chairperson.
Honorable Chairperson, we respect the ruling given. In our rearrangement of the presentations, we agreed that Professor Kiswetta would lead the presentation in respect of the pension matters, understanding that the meeting is between the board of directors and the committee, but to the extent necessary, he'll be supported by the relevant executive in that respect.
Thank you very much. I'm going to the board member to proceed, and the executive will add if anything is left out, and then also the executive will assist the board in answering questions. Thank you very much.
Fine, thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'll try and be crisp as to what the issues are. The matter relates to two pension funds. The first is the Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund, and the second one relates to the Transnet Pension Fund, which was the old pre-1990 fund that was established on the corporatization of Transnet in 1990. So it relates to those two funds. The key matter just the first is that on the corporatization of Transnet in 1990, when the defined benefit fund was established, an actuarial calculation has to be done, and at the time, an actuarial deficit of 17.184 million was established. An actuarial deficit, for clarity, is the difference between the calculated, actuarially calculated liabilities that the fund may have, and in relation to the actual funds that it has. So if there's a mismatch between what the actuaries determine the fund should pay out, if it has to pay out all these funds, relative to the actual money. So you can end up with either a surplus or a deficit. In this case, the actuarial determination was a 17.1 billion deficit. The second issue relates to a 2001 independent actuarial calculation that led to an agreement between the company and the pension fund trustees at the time that an amount of 309 million would be apportioned to Transnet. So very often historically when pension funds in the defined in defined benefit funds, where the company effectively takes the contingent liability in the event of shortfall, very often when there is a surplus, there is an apportionment of that surplus to the company. And in this case, based on the independent calculation and the agreement between the companies and the pension fund trustees in 2001, an amount of $309 million was apportioned to Transnet, and a further agreement was reached that amount would only be used for the benefit of pensioners in the future. And then the third issue is that in 2003, based on the advice of senior counsel, there was an agreement that the future increases to pensioners would be 2%. And there was clarity sought by senior counsel, who then confirmed that the 2% left no discretion in the hands of the trustees. They could not pay more or less. And so that was the breach. The actuarial deficit of $17 million, the apportionment to Transnet of $309 million, and the 2% annual increase. That then led to a class action that went through to the High Court and resulted in the plaintiff seeking the following remedy. Firstly, that there was a commitment to pay an annual increase of 70% of the rate of inflation to the members in the two funds, with effect from 2003 plus interest, against the compulsory or non-discretionary 2%. The second relief that they sought was that the amount of 17.18, the deficit as calculated, that Transnet be ordered to pay that amount back to the funds. And the third relief that they sought was that the $309 million plus interest that was apportioned to Transnet in 2001 also be paid back. Now, in each of those three, let me quickly cover very crisply the position as it stands. On the first matter, it's clear that the increase cannot be higher than 2% unless the rules of the funds are changed, and there is currently an application supported by National Treasury, an application to DPE to change the rules to allow for some discretion for the trustees depending on the actual funds and the ability, the capacity that the funds provide to give increases beyond 2%. So it's not a direct response to the demand, the relief sought, but to give a more discretion to the trustees. So that's pending an approval by the DPE. The second is the actuarial deficit in a fund is actually not a debt owed to the fund. It is simply a mismatch between the liability that the fund has and the asset that it has. It's not a debt. And therefore, there is no claim of that amount to be paid, and that will be the position, obviously, that Transnet would hold as this matter proceeds to the legal process. The third matter, the portion that was apportioned to Transnet for the condition that it be used only for the benefit of pensioners, in that regard, Transnet will demonstrate that it has already paid out an amount of $523 million, purely discretionary as extra payments to members. And so therefore, the position is that there's also no basis for that claim. Where the legal process is at the moment, that will proceed, but we can share with the committee that there is also, in parallel to the legal process, a good faith discussion between the parties to try and see if we can find a resolution that is amicable and agreeable between the parties and not necessarily have this resolved in court. But until as long as the court process proceeds, the company believes that it has a strong basis to defend the remedies that were sought. I'll pause there, Chair, for questions. For clarity.
Thank you very much. Any additions from the board or the executive? Mr. Gama and your executive, any additions? Thank you very much. I'm going to allow the members to pose questions of clarity. Honorable Mazzoni. Honorable Mara. Honorable Swar. Honorable Lienga, is your hand up? Ms. Nobanda? Honorable Nobanda, is your hand up? Honorable Nobanda. Honorable Swart. Honorable Rancho. In that order, members, thank you.
Chair, thank you very much, and thank you for the report back on what's going on. Now, this the particular case has gone to court for the class action. I mean, it went up to Concord. So it's a very serious matter that we're dealing with here, and you know, we're dealing with people's lives. And above all, I think we're dealing with very vulnerable people because they are, of, you know, members of that are much older of the community. And I get letters almost on a weekly basis from members who, you know, people are dying. And it's a defined pension amount. And that money, you know, it's not going to go anywhere once these people die, for lack of a better term. And I realize that that sounds terrible, but that's the reality in which we live because, you know, many of these people are in their late 80s, early 90s. Now, I have three major questions that I need to have answered. This court battle could take up to 10 years. We've seen the way court, you know, points in limine are raised, councils changed, there's postponements for new documents, people resign from Transnet, and new people take over, legal firms are changed. If you're in your 80s and you're suffering now, you can't wait 10 years for this court case to be finished. Now, I have no doubt that Transnet wants to see their employees looked after. I don't believe that there's mala fide intended. Is there no way that this matter can be settled in some way, shape or form that won't involve this extended court battle? Secondly, the Transnet pensioners have different groups, and they have these groups around the country, and they come together almost on a monthly basis, and they have feedback reports, and I find that a lot of the feedback that they are given is incorrect, and it comes from the incorrect sources many times. And I include political parties that give incorrect feedback. And I think that that's very disingenuous, especially in the case when you're dealing with people that are in an incredibly vulnerable situation. Is Transnet embarking on an information strategy? We've spoken about a roadshow before, and I know that a roadshow was embarked upon, but that roadshow actually got hold of very few of the pensioners. And the problem is a lot of the pensioners have absolutely no idea what's being done with that money. They have no control over what's being done with their money. They don't understand what's being done. And I think a lot of false information is being given through to those pensioners. In terms of where we stand right now, is it in fact true that there are some pensioners who are getting as little as 140 rand a month? Because we've received reports that some of the pensioners, that is the amount of money that they're receiving in a month. Now, if that is the case, we have a very urgent problem that we need to address, specifically not only for all the pensioners, but for those that are receiving these minuscule amounts of money. Because we're being told that deductions are coming off that they have no idea about. And so the waters, you know, as the court case progresses and as we have reports in Parliament, so it becomes clearer in mud where some of these pensioners stand. So if we could have a report back on that. Thank you, Chair.
In that order, members?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Mine is around the perpetual suffering of the beneficiaries of this fund, which I believe many of them are no longer around. If they are not sick, they actually passed on. Is there any arrangement that seeks to ensure that their beneficiaries, the pensioners' beneficiaries, are in your data in order that their use are not remaining in the company unclaimed? Then, secondly, is it impossible for an out-of-court settlement in order to buy time, that people get their money in good time whilst they are still around? Or are there any aspects that you feel the court will actually mend ways that will be beneficial to the beneficiaries? Then thirdly, how did you deal with the historical inequalities, like the issue of race and gender, in allocating this fund? Or is that also part that the court must make a determination? Because I fully understand that in the manner in the past these issues were dealt with, there were a lot of these deficiencies around issues of transformation. Thank you.
In that order, member?
Just to make sure, Chairperson, I will be very short and to the point. The main obstacle is actually the 2%, fixed 2%. So who can change that, and how soon could that that be done? That is all over from the beginning. That was one of the big elephants in the room as far as the pension fund is concerned. Thank you.
Is that
order,
member? Thank you, Chair. Mine is just a clarification. Or if the Constitutional Court said gave judgment, why is it taking long for? Why is Transnet not implementing? What is it that they are looking at? And two, all these delays, are they not aware of the longer it takes for them to implement the court's decision, it's affecting the poorest of the poor? So border, they are sitting there with that money and all these billions. So people out there are suffering. I heard one member saying if somebody is 80 years and they are going to wait another 10 years, they don't have a guarantee that they will reach 90 and they will get that money. So what is Transnet saying to the poor about this issue? And let me give it there.
And that other members, before the member comes in, please remind me on the time that you have requested to leave.
Okay, when that time comes, you are allowed to recruit yourself, and the board and the executive will proceed with the answer. Honorable sir.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think I just want to join my colleagues in expressing concern about the time and the process, and we know the high mortality rate and the fact that there are pensioners that are really struggling, and so we need to find a way of finalising this process. And I'm pleased that I think the Minister indicated in May that there was class action settlement being considered. You've also alluded to that. Could you give us more details as to how far that process is? It's to us of great import given the situation facing the Transnet pensioners. And if you weigh that with the issue that we're not discussing today, but with the allegations,
it is a matter of concern to us. Now, I would also ask you,
there was an allegation that Trillion Asset Management allegedly used its position and certain pension funds to hedge some of its major deals that it did for Transnet. Is the board aware of that, those allegations? And if so, have they been investigated, particularly relating to usage of pension funds to secure or hedge deals that were being done? That is very important to us. I'd also like to get an indication, this you might like to come back to us, but the legal costs incurred are obviously running into millions of rands. We understand the nature of litigation, but clearly when you consider the legal costs, then it does persuade one to try to reach a settlement as quickly as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to raise a concern that we are, as this committee, we are sitting with a problem in Alaska of monies that are not paid to people that that are supposed to get those monies, and other people take advantage of the issue that the monies are not being paid out. I'm afraid of a situation that will come to Transnet as that, because as the members have already said, some of those members have passed on. Some maybe did not even have children. Some have children, some have no children. So their monies will be given to a person coming from maybe from another country that says, I was a relative of Molefe who was working here. He passed on it. That information, he got it from the information that is publicized. We will be seated with a problem. I am not sure why. What is the difficulty of an entity as Transnet not to know how many pensioners do we have this year? How much do we have to pay out this year? And then the next year it's the same thing. You look at how many are going out of the system and how much is there to pay them. To take so long to pay pension funds to beneficiaries that you know that were there, that were working for you as Transnet, it's an embarrassment to government, as if the officials that are working there are people who do not care and are people who do not have the capacity of doing the job. The judgment that was delivered by the Constitutional Court on the 28th of April, dismissing all exceptions against the particulars of claims, can we then be explained what did Transnet do on when he got that from the Concord? Do you still have any name of people who are living? Like Honorable Luyenge said. Or do you are not sure that if they are still there, if there are still families that need to get this money, or any person that is there? I'm afraid that this money would fall into in wrong hands, and that the blame would be put on you and Transnet, and we will have to sit down again and reinvestigate a money that has been paid out unlawfully to an illegal person, and it is going to take us years. When is this decision? When are you taking a decision to pay the money to the rightful people that you know that you have in your system?
Thank you very much, honorable members, for your contribution. You may, if you want to say something before you rush out.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I'll give some initial responses and then also call on the group to the council and his colleague to add some of the specific detail on our databases and maybe a little bit more on where we are with the settlement conversation. But maybe just thank you for the questions. To give a context, I mean, Transnet is painfully aware of balancing the humane and the real plight of pensioners, and without trivializing that at all, have demonstrated its sensitivity towards this in at least two ways, in at least three ways. The first way is that it has made discretionary payments of 523 million towards some of these members. The second is it is driving a request for a rule change to address the 2% limitation that their hands are bound by in terms of the rules of the fund. And the third is a good faith discussion around settlement outside of the court process. So I think we would like to give the committee an assurance that we are not dealing with this as an actuarial matter, but as a matter that affects real people and real lives, and we take fully on board and appreciate the concerns as expressed by the members that these are actually old people who have real financial difficulties and for whom there is not many years left. So without any contradiction, we accept that. In contrast, or in balance of that, clearly pension funds are legal instruments governed by laws and by rules that limit the discretion of a company like Transnet. And one must be careful that in treating the potential remedies that one class seeks remedy for does not trigger a reactive claim by members who feel that in remedying one, you are creating a prejudice against them. And therefore, it becomes extremely complex that how this is settled must ensure that all parties feel that their interests have not been compromised. And we are very mindful of the technicalities and the complexities related to that. I'm going to ask when I'm finished that the executive, the legal counsel, talk to a little bit about how can we improve on the communication and better roadshows, because I think misinformation is not helpful, and we need to step up ours, so I'll ask for clarification on that, and also on the factual request of the 140 rand a month with that. Then, on the perpetual suffering of beneficiaries, are there dependents on the database? I'll also refer that to the executives. The out-of-court settlement, as I said, is a serious attempt to try and resolve and address the matters for all the reasons mentioned. And clearly, we would like to hasten that. And we have been informed by the Group Legal Counsel that we started off poles apart and we are more now around the equator, to use an analogy, and he can color that in himself. And as far as the historical inequalities are concerned, we are painfully aware of all the historical inadequacies that stubbornly persist, and this is only one example of its stubborn persistence. The class action does not address that particularly. The 2% issue, as I mentioned, there is an application, and also the management can give an update on that. On why Transnet is not implementing the Concord decision, the Concord set aside any exceptions that Transnet sought for, which means really that in terms of the legal process, the matter will appear before the High Court, where Transnet will defend the remedy that is sought, because Transnet holds a strong view, for the reasons I've explained, that those remedies have no legal basis. I think I'm going to end there. My colleague, Gratitude from Papa, have indicated that she would like to add some thoughts, and thereafter I'm going to hand over to the committee. And at this stage, I would respectfully ask the committee to excuse me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank
you, Chairperson. I just want to read out a few instances where Transnet is demonstrating that it is taking the concerns of the people and considering them for betterment. When determining the allocation of the discretionary bonus, for example, the previously disadvantaged pensioners were the prime focus. So were the pensioners with long service, pensioners over the age of 65, and pensioners who have very low pensions. So those categories of pensioners were really the priority when the allocation was made. Also, previously, Transnet contributed 77 million to the TSDB fund to make sure that the previously disadvantaged widows actually receive a contribution. That is, they receive value, and they receive the contributions that they needed to receive, the benefits that they need to receive. And the previously disadvantaged widows have received identical benefits to all other beneficiaries of the TSDB fund, including the statutory increases, ad hoc bonus payments, and the ex gratia payments. So in these attempts, Transnet is demonstrating that it really is considering the previously disadvantaged considering the pensioners who are quite old as we speak, the pensioners who have long service, and the pensioners who have very low pensions at the moment. Okay, I'll hand over to the PWA for further discussion. Negotiations that are taking place.
in order to have a settlement of this matter outside court. We are very much aware of the cost implications, and the cost implications if we allow the matter to run. Second, the time that it is going to take to have this matter finalized. Again, the 5 years. And what it means for the patient. And we've already indicated that Transnet is concerned about the price of its own patients. We would like to see them improve. And if you look at where we are now, if you look at where we came from, I can tell you without any specifics that there's no issue of services beyond the table of negotiation. There's nothing like that now. So I think the parties are not far from each other. And they need to prevent me to constantly consider. The process of changing the rules is something that trustees of the pension fund make the proposal come to Transnet or a recommendation, but because it's got implication, financial implication for the fund, it has to go to the Minister of Finance with the concurrence of the Minister of Public Enterprise. That is the process that the professor was talking about. That those have been sent to Mr. Treasurer, and we are waiting for two ministers to approve. The effect of that will be that over and above the 2%, the trustees will then be given a discretion, if the fund allows, to pay more than 2% per annum in income. I think I've covered most of the things, and Ms. Helen Swart will then cover the other issues like the 140 rand.
Thank you, Mr. Zuniga. If I could introduce myself to my name, Helen Walsh from Transnet. Helen Walsh from Transnet, not Helen Swart. I think a couple of the questions that...
there's a new member, not very new, but new. I'm
a general manager in the finance department in Transnet. I'm hoping I'll get the questions that... a question was raised about arrangements to ensure that proper that pension beneficiaries are under 85, and if the pensioner is deceased, their spouses or children are beneficiaries to ensure that they obtain the benefits. Enormous effort is made every month by the administrators of the fund to check the records and to ensure that all beneficiaries, pensioners themselves, as well as their spouses and their children, if they are advised that the pensioner has deceased, to identify them and be able to pay the benefits out. There are checks made in order to ensure that it's the appropriate beneficiary. There are the records are checked against the National Register to make sure that the people are valid individuals with valid bank accounts, and anybody who has unclaimed benefits, the fund together with its administrators makes every effort to trace those, to pay those benefits up, but not dispersed elsewhere. They kept the unclaimed benefits and continuous efforts made to identify the individuals. Final question I think that management can respond to is that often the information given to the pensioners is incorrect, and I think that notwithstanding any communication that is done by both the funds or by companies, I think communication can always be involved. And I think management to deal with the pension funds and the administration will be looked at the communication service. It's something that can be improved in the past. So we are communicating, but we obviously always need to. I think the only question that remains unanswered through Madam Chair is the question on the Trillium asset management for hedging, and I know that question was posed to the board.
Thank you very much. CFO, anything to add? Check the CFO.
No.
Mr. Gunn, anything to
add
on the clarification?
Yeah, on the Trillium matter, we asked the pension fund, and they've gone to court to deal with those issues of the procurement, to try and recover whatever amount that they need to do.
Thank you. Any other board member that would like to respond on any issue? If not, Chairperson, anything that you'd like to say in this matter? Given the questions that have been asked by members and the responses currently.
Honourable Chair, I just want to emphasize what the preceding figures have said, that we are committed to ensuring that this matter of the pensioners is dealt with in the most humane manner possible. So we as a new board will keep close to that process, and we let me say that I invite members also even outside this forum to interact with us as and when it becomes necessary, so that we don't wait until when there's a meeting of this nature to deal with questions. Interacting in a dynamic way might assist us to know what are the new issues emerging and begin to prepare to respond to them. The Trillium matter has recently been brought to our attention, and we'll obviously be looking into it to the extent necessary. It could be part of the broader investigation.
We are here. Is there anything that you'd like to say as you have listened to the members in terms of members really in essence to say that they would like to have this matter be speedily resolved?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think from the department we of the view that any other possible opportunities to finalize the matter, the department remains in support
and we will therefore follow up also on the rules between the DP and the National Treasury to ensure that we finalize that, that any opportunity that we get there after these rules doesn't become another hurdle that we have to go over. So we remain committed to ensure that we finalize those outstanding issues, particularly between ourselves, DP, and the National Treasury on the rules. And then we'll ensure that also the Minister gets the update on this going forward. Thank you, Chair.
I should ask you to introduce yourself and the other members from the department for the benefit of the new board. Thank you.
Apologies, Chairperson. My name is Lebohang Dombe. I'm from Department of Public Enterprises. I'm currently the acting head of transport enterprises in the DPE.
Good morning. My name is Melanchthon Makove. I'm the acting head of legal and governance at the department.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Clive Soloaji. I'm responsible for risk management in the DPE.
Thank you very much for all the responses, starting from the board to the executive to the department, and I think you've noted all the concerns of the committee, and we'll monitor as you have committed yourself in trying to fast track this matter. Thank you very much. From ourselves, that you have honored our invitation, Chairperson and board members, and our invitation also included the group CE and the CFO, and they came with their delegation led by yourself, Chairperson, and they were quite mindful that not all board members will be able to come down to Cape Town, but we really appreciate that a number of board members were able to come together with yourself. And on that note, I'm going to allow the Transnet to take a leave, and then in that process we'll go on a break, because members did not have a break really. It was a working break. I'm going to have a 10-minute break, and then we cut a little break, and then we will continue to deal with our minutes. Thank you very much.